It's showtime, folks!
This is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I was sending it for someone else. Why do people always seem to just be on vacation?
It is Wednesday, my dudes, and welcome in to another edition of Overtime. Clocking in live from the Fan Run Studios. A Fox Sports Knoxville live on 1340 AM and 105.7 FM, streaming on the Fan Run Radio app and fanrunradio.com, and also coming to you live video on Periscope as well. I am Tanner Carson, joined once again, as I was yesterday, in the studio by Will Stevens, filling in for Tucker Holt, as today is Tucker's last day out of the studio. Doing his own little mini vacation, I guess. I guess everyone needs a little bit of a mental break.
I respect it.
So, yeah, again, Will, thank you for being able to fill in today.
Of course. Every time the invitation comes my way, I always get very excited and enjoy being back in the booth, especially when I get to sit across my Hawaiian-shirted friend.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I'm wearing another one, I know.
It's a drip, dude. I'm not hating.
Well, dude, it's in the 90s today. It's a comfy thing to wear.
Trust me, I know. It was...
Hot. Hey, I know you know. Everyone, before we get into the topics of the day, because we have some important stuff to discuss, we will also have our good friend Lucas Panzica, 104.5 The Zone and Fallsbar.com, join us later on in this hour as well. But before we get to any of that, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the main man, pretty much the only man behind the Fan Run Lawn Care. Fan Run Lawn Care Services is officially the title of the business, and it has one employee.
Yes.
Will Stevens mowed the lawn last week. You were kind of in a hurry last week, so you couldn't finish everything.
Yeah, I missed a couple spots.
Oh, buddy, you got the spots you missed today, and not only were you out there just mowing every square inch of our property, you're also, I see you out there hauling off those big tree limbs.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you doing some labor.
No big deal. Just a 125-pound guy lifting like 15 pounds above my head is pretty impressive. I think it was just the heat that was the main thing. Like, it wasn't having to carry those limbs or sit on a riding mower. It was just having to sit in the sun.
It's so bad outside. It was so bad. You picked kind of the worst time to do outside yard work, by the way, because this is usually around the time when it gets the most hot it's going to get all day.
Oh, I like a challenge.
More power to you, I guess.
I put sunscreen on this time. That was my smart move of the day, because last time I did not put sunscreen on.
Yeah, you want to protect that skin. You want to protect that skin for sure. But hey, look at you, man. You're doing the most actual labor that anyone involved with this station has done in quite some time.
Yeah, yeah. Glad to also.
Usually, what's the most strenuous labor we do? Take out the trash.
I do that
vacuum
too.
Vacuum every now and then. Wipe down and sanitize.
I think COVID has made us do a lot more manual labor than usual.
It has, yeah. We're actually having to make sure we're clean around here. But when it comes to outside labor, I don't know, man. None of us have really done that besides Nate.
That's what I was saying. I saw the boss man, the Godfather, mowing his own lawn, and I was like, that can't fly while I'm around. And so I just offered to do it.
Well, he is going to pay you a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's not like you're doing this for free.
Just let me pretend.
What? Why do you think it makes you sound better if you're doing it for free?
I mean, I figured people assumed he was paying me. He is.
Okay, yeah. We respect labor laws here.
Yes. Yeah.
You might not be getting paid anything to be an intern and sit behind that booth, but by Georgie, if you go out and haul those tree limbs around.
You'll give me some coin.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. We respect you a little bit. Speaking of coin, how about the Bitcoin hat going on right now on Twitter?
This is Bray.
It's like nearly everyone famous that has a big following on Twitter has been hacked by a Bitcoin scammer.
Yeah, and people are falling for it, too.
It's Kanye, it's Elon Musk, it's Joe Biden and Barack Obama, it's
Bloomberg.
Apple and Uber, and
yeah,
it's like everyone, pretty much. I mean, there's some exceptions. Trump hasn't been hacked yet.
Yeah, he probably has a higher security on a POTUS account.
Yeah, but wouldn't that make sense for Barack Obama and Joe Biden too? Wouldn't they have two-factor identification when they log into their account?
I feel like everyone should have it, but especially if you're a blue check, and then especially if you're a political figure.
Yeah, how's a former president and a former vice president, how did they especially not have extra security?
I've seen Joe Biden try to speak English. It's kind of surprising he's even on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I don't think he really handles his entire Twitter account, so it makes you think. I mean, what, doesn't he still get Secret Service protection because he was a vice president?
Yeah, it still works like that, right? Yeah, I think so.
And you would think, I mean, Secret Service for physical protection is one thing, but you would also think he would have some services extend to his online security. His campaign would have some security, but I guess not. But apparently Elon Musk doesn't either. Did Bezos get hacked too?
Yeah, Bezos got it.
What the hell?
Yeah, they're attacking everybody.
There's no way. Something else has happened. There's no way that all of these really notable people, really powerful people, don't have two-step authentication for their Twitter account. I have two-step authentification.
I don't.
Dad, you're.
I like to live my life on the edge.
You're living your life very dangerously. For those who don't know what that is, and I don't know who does it now, but I know there's still some people who aren't up to speed on all the tech things going on. Basically, what that means is if you log into your Twitter account, Facebook, whatever, I don't know what service wouldn't have a two-step authentication nowadays.
I think even Snap has it.
Yeah,
like Snapchat has it.
That's a very important one to have.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. So what that means is you type in your password, username to whatever. Let's say it's your Twitter account. You type in your password. Well, instead of immediately gain access to your account, your phone gets sent a special one-time code that you also have to enter. So it would usually mean if someone gets hacked and they have two-step authentication, that means a hacker has their phone. But I don't know. I'm not privy to the world of hacking. You know, I'm pretty much like that dude from Vine who would go into the Best Buy with a trench coat and the sunglasses and start randomly tapping the computers, hacking progress. I'm like that when it comes to understanding hacking, but there's had to be a way, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
None of these, Barack Obama doesn't have a one-step verification.
No, of course not. No, these people have the security, obviously not the ones that they needed, but they had security. So this was a big-time hack. Like, I mean, you said yourself there was a white supremacist dude that got exposed saying he sent, what was the number?
He sent almost 23,000 in Bitcoin.
Yeah, sent
like
23,000 to just a random Bitcoin address. There was another one, I don't know whose it was, I think it might have been Kanye's, and it had only been tweeted out for 2 minutes. It had already gotten $106,000 of Bitcoin sent to it. So, like, they're getting people's money.
With enough people who follow Kanye and others like this, you're bound to find so many idiots.
I mean, yeah.
You just believe it on face value. And Kanye, not a good day for him. Not only has he gotten hacked, he also officially dropped out of the presidential race.
Yeah, I saw that electoral college dropout.
No. Oh, my God. That's pretty good. No more birthday party, which means, does that mean Kanye might be the only person who's not cake?
Kanye is not cake.
Is Kanye an actual
Kanye
human?
Kanye is not cake.
The birthday party.
What if Kanye is the only human? Kanye is the only person who's a functioning member of society, and we're all just... I can't even get that sentence out.
I don't even know. His presidential campaign lasted 11 whole days, and now his Twitter account gets hacked.
I mean, that's longer than an average Kardashian marriage.
I love when you... This has an official Wikipedia entry, and you can see... Michelle Tidball was going to be his VP, I guess, who's a preacher?
Never heard of her.
Affiliation, birthday party, headquarters, Cody, Wyoming, key people, Andre Bodiford, custodian of records and treasurer, Kim Kardashian, campaign advisor, Elon Musk, campaign advisor.
I mean.
Slogan, yes.
Let's be honest. Kim was probably going to be the Eleanor Roosevelt of the situation and be calling most of the shots.
You saying Kanye has polio?
I mean...
I think he can still walk.
I've never seen Kanye walk. Oh, I've never watched a video of Kanye walk, now that I think about it.
I saw him walk. He He walks and Jesus walks too, as the song goes.
That's fair. I don't think someone walks. I don't think someone who had polio would be able to snatch that award away from Taylor Swift like he did.
Yeah, it takes some legs to get on that stage and run right off.
They might have had a ramp.
I didn't think we'd be drawing parallels between Kanye West and FDR and polio, but here we are. It's 2020 is a weird time. Today is just another weird day. This wide hack, this Bitcoin hack, I guarantee you, Will Stevens, by the time that it's December 31st and it's time to hopefully go to 2021, hopefully when the clock strikes midnight, the calendar doesn't switch to December 32nd or something like that. But I guarantee you, by the end of this year, whenever it ends, this will not even be top 15 weirdest things that have happened this year.
Not even top 20.
Probably not even top 20. Maybe an AP voters might rank in the top 25, but definitely not 20.
No, dude.
Definitely not 20.
We still have a whole half yet to go.
Yeah, second half's not gone that well.
Like, they got us in the first half. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they're getting us in the start of the second half, too. Let's go ahead and transition to the big news story of the day. You knew it was going to be a matter of time. You just knew that you wouldn't be able to go throughout all the processes of bringing all these student-athletes back to Knoxville, back to campus, without some type of multiple positive COVID test. Well, that's happened today. Multiple Tennessee Vols athletes. Now, that's the key word, athletes. It's not all football players. This means football, basketball, women's basketball too, I assume. Are there any other athletes doing workouts?
Is women's soccer on campus, or is any fall sport – is it all fall sports on campus, or is it just football and then the main two?
You would think with all the other fall sports, you would think the athletes would be on campus. So that's cross country, that's volleyball, that's women's soccer too, right? Or is that spring?
I think women's soccer – I know women's soccer for high school is in the fall, so I would assume it would be in the fall. But I'm not positive on when women's soccer plays.
Either way, enough of the semantics here. This just means it's not all football players, because that's going to be the first concern. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about trying to get some type of college football season played. But yeah, multiple Tennessee athletes tested positive for COVID-19 in a wave of testing following the 4th of July weekend. A UT spokesperson has confirmed today. The positive results came from multiple sports after UT opted to do another round of testing after the holiday and welcome back part of the women's soccer team for its first round of testing.
Okay, so this is the first time they've been – okay, that makes sense.
This is the first time for women's soccer, but football, basketball players have been on campus.
Yeah, and we only had that one GA for football. We knew until just now.
And you've only had two basketball players.
Yes.
So you've been – doing very well compared to so many other programs.
You've been doing very well.
But this is the first big boo-boo today, I guess you would say. Obviously, there's no chatter from UT about halting workouts right now. Apparently, it's not that bad for football, I would assume, because if you're in situations like North Carolina, Houston a few weeks ago, where you have a lot on your football team, mm-hmm. you're going to have to just pause workouts for almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, it makes me feel comfortable I wouldn't want to say comfortable because it said that a bunch of people have tested, but since not getting a number per se makes it reassuring, because if it was like how Clemson had 37, I feel like they would have to release that big of a number type of deal. So I don't think it could be too high.
All athletes who record a positive test will be quarantined, of course, for 14 days. The Tennessee plan that was released at the start of last month states that the student-athlete will be isolated and treated as outlined by CDC guidelines. Isolation will either occur in his or her dorm as directed by university housing or in off-campus housing as directed by the athletic department. Frequent follow-up of the student-athlete will be done by the sports medicine staff. In addition, other individuals who are determined to be close contacts of the infected student-athlete will also be isolated and monitored for symptoms of COVID-19. Previously, the only known positive test among UT athletes were two men's basketball players. Both have cleared quarantine since their positive test. They have not been identified. I wonder who is most likely. Because it's not Vescovi and Uroš. They're in their home countries.
Uroš just got back.
Oh, he got back?
He just landed in Knoxville the other day.
Well, he wasn't on campus when these positives were going on. Still wonder who it was.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't want to throw any names out that
We don't want to really speculate, but I'm curious.
One of my guesses would be someone who stayed local.
Pimber?
Yeah, I didn't want to say his name, but like that would make the most sense because they...
And again, I don't want to like speculate that he did have it, but I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
Okay, well, enough of that. I mean, we could get the dangerous territory talking about that, and I just name-dropped Drew Pimper, so... I hope you didn't have it, buddy. Hope you didn't have it. Go Beard and all that stuff.
Gross.
I know you don't want to say that.
Go Vols and go Pember, but...
Not the Bulldogs.
Screw the Bulldogs.
Tennessee football players and staff members were tested again for COVID-19 after the 4th of July weekend. Coach Jeremy Pruitt indicated the testing plan during an appearance on the Dan Patrick Show back on July 1st. UT welcomed 91 football players back to campus without a positive COVID case on June 8th. Tennessee did have the one positive from a GA. Here's some monetary figures, by the way. UT had spent over $59,000 on testing as of July 8th, according to a records request by the News Sentinel. And UT spent almost $46,000 on 511 nasal swab tests and $13,400 on 268 antibody blood tests.
Dang.
Tennessee has tested athletes and staff members of the football, men's and women's basketball, and volleyball teams, and now they just tested women's soccer players.
It makes me more and more nervous hearing those monetary values about the future of sports as it stands right now. I don't want to be too much of a pessimist, but like, if we have no ticket revenue, no concession revenue, I mean, we're losing out on a lot of money already, and then we're having to spend extra money to buy tests and stuff like that.
That's why you hope you play games to get TV money from the SEC network. And probably why I think Tennessee hopes that they only play conference only, because that saves them over $3 million that don't have to pay to Charlotte, Troy, and Furman.
Yeah.
They're probably hoping that doesn't happen.
They probably get a little bit fatter checks if it's all SEC games, because most of those games are going to be prime time or be looking for a pretty decent slot.
I'm at the point where I would almost welcome it just to see how crazy it would be. I don't know. I'd rather play, you know, home and home against two additional SEC West teams and have to go up to Norman.
Yeah, play Oklahoma. No, I completely agree with that. Because this season, like, regardless of what happens, this season is going to have an asterisk by it.
It is.
No matter what happens, because the Big Ten's already doing conference only
and
the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go conference only, even if we draw tough opponents and we don't perform the best, like, if there's an asterisk behind it, that doesn't upset me that much. But if we play a regular schedule and we kind of flounder through it, I mean, I'm still going to be upset because that was the schedule you had already laid out.
Going back to these positive tests, again, UT has not released the amount of, like, who on what program has tested positive, how many football players. These are for message boards, what I've seen today, so take it with a big, big block of salt. But people who would know have said it's definitely over 10 football players.
Definitely over 10 football players?
Football players.
Okay.
So, again, that's for message boards.
So,
I'm not passing it off as a truth. I'm not passing it off as a report. All I'm saying is, you know, we're fan-run radio, and as a fan, I look at what other fans are saying, and that's some of the chatter.
Okay.
I don't want to analyze too much of what, Pigeon Forge Vol 69 says.
Nice.
That wasn't the name of the user, by the way. I'm just saying. I don't want to analyze too much of that, but, again, when you don't see a number released, does that make you feel better, or does it make you feel are you concerned that they wouldn't be releasing a number? Because, Will, you sounded positive that maybe if they don't release a number, maybe that means it's not as bad as when Clemson had 37 football players test positive.
Yeah, I don't think you can withhold information if it's of a really great stature, I guess. Like, if we had 40 kids test positive throughout all of our athletic divisions, you would have to report that because that's a fat chunk. And also, they are in our city. And so if you have that many people reporting out of that area, you should probably want to tell people so they don't go down to that area and maybe risk coming in contact with someone who's come in contact with those people.
Fair enough. I wanted to look at the Twitter thing again. Twitter support tweeted this out half an hour ago, and there's a lot of speculation that this wasn't a user-level hack. Probably, like, Twitter, like, someone on Twitter itself has gotten hacked, and that's why you're able to access all these
other accounts behind the
scenes. Accounts you would think are super protected. This is what Twitter support tweeted out. We are aware of a security incident impacting accounts on Twitter. We are investigating and taking steps to fix it. We will update everyone shortly. You may be unable to tweet or reset your password while we review and address this incident. You may be unable to tweet. Well, you should just send a tweet out just to see if you can.
That's what I was about to say. I can't. My tweets won't load right now. Nothing on my...
I was about to say, like, tweet poop or something. I don't know.
I got
just as a test. Are you really doing it?
This is a test.
I was about to say, like, you're typing out something longer than poop.
Poop, let's, this is a test.
Let me refresh my timeline.
It said my tweet was sent, but nothing will load.
Let's see. Yep, it's here. It's sent out.
Okay.
Poop, this is a test.
Check 1, 2, confirm.
I love the life we lead on sports talk radio right here. A few more minutes before we hit this breaking, talk to Lucas Panzeca on the other side. Wow, this is a... Let's just stay on the Twitter thing. If Twitter itself has been... Like, can Twitter itself be hacked?
Twitter itself... I mean, I guess you can have a rogue employee for sure. Maybe this is what it is. An employee who knows the passwords and stuff like that and knows how to get past all of these verifications and can just make Bitcoin bank. Also, can we just take a second and... consider the deal that these hackers were laying out for us. So it's, if you send me $1,000 basically in Bitcoin, we'll give you $2,000 back. It was going to double your purchase.
Okay.
That's not a good enough deal for me to give away my money blindly. It's got to be 3 or 4 times.
I'd rather, you know, send money to a Nigerian prince who emails me. I'd rather do that. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
What is an email? No, I'm kidding. I have come in contact with many princes.
Oh, God. I just... This looks like it could be really entertaining from, like, a train wreck standpoint, and I'm all here for it.
Should I get some insights... I should go buy some Bitcoin and then get an inside scoop on what happens when you send the money over?
Hey, at your own risk, I guess. I don't know a damn thing about Bitcoin, dude. I really don't. Like, how much...
There's an ATM at the mall for it.
How much? Let's see. One Bitcoin equals over 9,200 U.S. dollars.
So it's like a euro.
I don't even think it's like no, not even that much. So wait, is someone sending 1,000 Bitcoins? Oh my gosh,
it's a lot of money.
It's a whole lot. Yeah, I should have gotten to the Bitcoin thing back in the day.
That was the most overrated thing. That was so hyped up for nothing.
How about the Dogecoin?
I'm not on TikTok. I'm not like my other generation, but I did see that it was trending. I heard that it was just to basically for TikTokers to flex that they could get something going. And they're like, let's start our own currency, which is what 6-year-olds do when they're playing in forts.
I'd love to have my own like rock and stick currency. Loved it so much. I can't wait till the government bans TikTok. Let's go ahead and hit this first break here, Will. When we come back, we will talk to Lucas Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville and VolsWire.com. Big news out in Nashville. The Titans have inked their king to a long-term deal. Derrick Henry.
Tractorcito.
El Tractorcito getting that guaranteed money. We're going to talk to Lucas about that and also what he thinks about the Vols' new news with the positive COVID test and a whole lot more. Talking to Lucas Panzeca when we come back on the other side. You are listening to Overtime. Oh, we got Will playing I'm a Boss. You know who else is a boss?
Who?
The man we're about to talk to out there from the Mid-State, Lucas Panzeca. 104.5 The Zone, VolsWire.com. He is a man of many ventures, and of course, he's making his weekly appearance to talk to us here on Overtime. Lucas, happy Wednesday, my friend. What's up?
Boys, happy Tuesday. How are y'all doing?
Tuesday?
Oh, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, I just said Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, my dude.
Oh, my bad.
Have things been crazy out there? Have you lost track of time?
I lost track of time about 2 months ago.
That's a really good point. Hey, man, I'm glad you don't have a verified Twitter account right now. Are you keeping up with what's going on?
What do you mean?
All of Twitter has been hacked.
No, today has actually been maybe my first actually busy day of quarantine.
Wow.
In terms of work stuff. So, okay. No, I actually have no clue what you're talking about. I've been dipping in and out of Twitter today, obviously with all the news that's happened, but I have no clue what you are talking about.
Okay, after we get done with this segment here, wow, I get to break news to Lucas. This is nice. Will, would you like to explain more what exactly has happened on Twitter in the last hour?
Yeah, so as a FanRun's youngest member, I'm kind of the social media guru. Right now on Twitter, many accounts are being hacked and tweeting out things saying, if you donate $1,000 to me in Bitcoin, I'll send $2,000, real dollars, to you. So basically, people are sending Bitcoin to verified accounts and then trying to then get money back, but they're obviously not getting any money back. So Twitter has locked all verified accounts so no one can get hacked anymore. And I just saw a tweet. I think Woj did it.
So you mean locked as in those accounts are now private?
No,
they cannot tweet.
They cannot tweet for the time being.
Wow. Every single verified account on Twitter.
All of them.
That even includes our official station account, Lucas.
Wow, how about that?
Subtle flex.
Yeah, but hey, it's a good time to be people like Dave Portnoy, I guess, who's never been verified. So he's out there just posting pizza reviews right now.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that aren't too upset that the blue check marks aren't able to tweet for the time being.
Oh, yeah, no, we haven't really suffered a big loss, have we? I don't think we have.
Well, thank God for Adam Schefter.
That is true. That is absolutely true. Well, Lucas, now we caught you up to speed what's going on Twitter. Let's actually get down to business here. Let's start off out there in Nashville. Today is a big, big day for the Titans in their near future. After a long time talking between these both sides here and pretty much doing this at the gun before 4 o'clock today, the Titans and King Derrick Henry, they have reached an agreement on a 4-year, $50 million contract. $25.5 million guaranteed, Lucas. Thoughts on the Titans and Derrick Henry getting this deal done, and what are your thoughts on the actual contents of the deal?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of Titans fans, it kind of felt like doom and gloom. I don't think there was a ton of hope that a deal would happen just yesterday. I think that was the mindset. And then this comes out in terms of the actual number. I think if you're a Titans fan, you can't possibly be upset or think that it's too much. It's not really close to Ezekiel Elliott money. You're not breaking the bank, but clearly it's something that Derrick Henry and his people are happy with. And let's go. Let's play ball. Derrick Henry's the running back of the Titans for the next 4 seasons. I think the deal absolutely had to be done. Don't care what the rules are about paying a running back. And you know what? And if the situation was pony up that Ezekiel Elliott kind of money that, you know, a couple of months ago people were talking about is going to be the floor for Derrick Henry, then you know what? I don't think the Titans would have done that. I really don't. John Robinson, as much as he loves Derrick Henry and wants to have him back, is a very prudent guy, and I don't think he would have made that kind of deal. But these two sides have such a good relationship, and I think the fact that Derrick Henry never whined about his franchise tender, in fact, he signed it almost immediately, was never out there complaining or holding out or anything like that. We knew he was going to be the Titans running back in 2020. Both sides were patient, came to a deal. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And this is one of those, I wouldn't say rare type of moments for like all sides, you know, not player, front office, fans. It's not like a rare thing that everyone gets happy, but certainly you don't see too many downsides to this, especially since you go back into talking about paying running backs. So you want to be careful how much you give them because of their limited shelf life. Well, with this too, I mean, it guarantees that Henry's going to get more of his money up front these next few years, and they're going to get the most out of his prime seasons coming up.
Yeah, I mean, the way the contract works out, you're absolutely right. These next couple seasons, I mean, no doubt are the Titans' window right now. You just fresh off an AFC Championship appearance. You're bringing back that offensive core with Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And now I guess that missing piece of the puzzle, right, for Titans fans is Jadeveon Clowney or at least some other complimentary pass rusher to come in after the addition of Vic Beasley earlier in the offseason. So this is the window. I think John Robinson was looking for a way to maximize Derrick Henry for these next 2 years while at the same time giving him that continuity and not making him, you know, think ahead about his future. And look, man, if this deal did not get done, it's not just Derrick Henry. I think it's the entire locker room that is affected, because what kind of message does that send when a player like Henry, who I've said it plenty of times on overtime before. I mean, if it's not for him, the Titans aren't in the AFC Championship, just period. He's the core of this team, the face of the franchise, and turned into such a locker room leader off the field last season, especially in the latter part of last season, that I think it sends a message to the locker room, guys that all have rallied around him, that you are not paying the guy that essentially got you to this point. They did it for Tannehill. Now they're doing it for Henry. I think it is instrumental in keeping that locker room together and keeping that window open as a contender in the AFC.
Yeah, certainly, man. And you already mentioned Clowney, and I feel like, as we've done several times here over the next few months, now with this Henry signing out of the way, both sides can breathe easy about that. Are all sights going to be turned now on finally reaching a conclusion in the Clowney saga, or do you think maybe some outside factors like how COVID might impact the season have any impact on that whatsoever? Is it going to be full speed ahead on trying to sign Clowney?
Well, it has certainly had an impact. I think, you know, it wouldn't be totally off base to say Jadeveon Clowney would be a Titan right now if it were not for the ongoing pandemic. John Robinson just the other week mentioned that he doesn't want to sign a Jadeveon Clowney until they can work out in person, until the team can run its medical and all the other paperwork that comes with looking into a free agent signing, especially one of that caliber. So I'm still not ruling it out. Like I said, I maintain that if this was a normal situation, a normal offseason, I think Clowney would be a Titan right now, like pen to paper. So it could still happen. You know, that remains to be seen. But there's no doubt that the situation that's going on with the pandemic has not aided in that.
We got Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone, and NashvilleVolsWire.com. Switching over now, Lucas, to mention the Vols. Reaction today to the announcement that UT has had several positive COVID tests among its athletes, but at the same time, they're not really being specific about, A, the number of positive tests, and B, what sports this comprises, because you got to think. Now, people are going to immediately think about football, right, with all the football players back on campus, and they have been for over a month. You've had more come back to campus after the 4th of July holiday. That's going to be the first concern. But also, you got men's and women's basketball. You have women's soccer that has just returned as well. So you have many different sports here. So it could be a mixture of all of that. But just reaction to the positive test and your thoughts on why UT is not being specific about how many have been positive.
Well, it's not totally shocking, is it? You know, when we're coming off the 4th of July holiday, where I'm sure plenty of these players were able to go home, able to celebrate with teammates, family, friends, or whatever, and then come back to campus, you know, I think it would be tough for Tennessee to go through this entire process of bringing student-athletes back without having some hiccups and some bumps in the road. So, not totally shocked by it. In terms of the decision not to reveal the numbers, you know, the only thing you can think of is you see these headlines pop up, 23 players at Texas, 30 players at Clemson, whatever it might be, and then it's the onslaught of college football is not happening, the articles, the radio shows talking about how can college football happen when this is happening on these campuses. I think maybe Tennessee is trying to prevent itself from being a tool to aid in the, I don't want to say effort to stop college football from happening, because I don't think anybody actually does not want it to happen, but certainly they don't want this news or their number to have any effect on what the SEC decides or anything like that. So I think it's a good move to keep it close vested. Who knows how many players actually tested positive, but we'll see down the stretch how the university handles it moving forward, because obviously they had done a good job up to that point before the holiday.
Yeah, they had certainly had, because you've been able to have over a month of football voluntary workouts without any type of outbreak and without any confirmed reports of like even one player having COVID. All you've had is the one graduate assistant last month. So Tennessee's been doing excellent on that standpoint. Back to the overall numbers and just the refusal to list the amount of positive cases. Me and Will were talking last segment about this, and Will was thinking that, well, because they aren't announcing a number, maybe that means it's not as bad as, let's say, when Clemson had 37 football players test positive. When I guess you would say if it gets bad enough, you kind of have to be transparent. What do you think about that? Do you think maybe this means it might be a little more better in the situation of not as many positive tests?
Well, it could, but it could also work both ways, I think. I think if the number is higher and it's high enough to where some people might be alarmed, maybe it is just as good of an idea to keep it private. Obviously, it's Tennessee's prerogative to do that, and they're practicing that prerogative. So, I think it could totally go both ways. It's probably by design that I don't think the university wants, you know, people guessing or throwing numbers out there. But I have no idea. I have no idea. It could go one way or the other. Maybe numbers are really low. Maybe numbers are alarmingly high, and they don't want that to get out. But all that matters is kind of is how they bounce back from that with the next round of testing.
For sure, man. And let's move back on over, staying in the state of Tennessee, but picking back up where we left off last week, talking about TSSAA. And I know there's not been a whole lot of news on that front, but I do want to bring up the fact that it's looking like the state of Virginia, they may be moving towards doing a statewide no high school football this fall, and they might be looking at the spring. That's joining other states like, I do believe, New Mexico. New Mexico announced that it will not take place this fall, talking about high school football. And you're concerned about larger states like Texas and California. Just reaction to that, and also, I mean, with – now, when it looks like statewide across the state of Tennessee, you might still be having face-to-face, in-person classes starting again next month. How does this make you feel about the possibility of TSSAA having as normal of a season as possible?
Well, I feel like after that last Board of Control meeting, there was a bit of a renewed optimism, because suddenly it was in the realm of possibility that Tennessee, or high school athletics in Tennessee, would get to fall under that governor's exemption and not have to abide by the state of emergency in terms of picking up practice and maybe play the season as scheduled. Shortly after that, I know Alabama announced they're going ahead with high school football. As far as I know, I don't think there's any changes at the moment in terms of fans in the stands. Obviously, that can change, but that's good. And then you see the news in Virginia where I think it's been all but decided that there will not be high school football this fall. You know, these decisions spread so far and wide, and the situations are so different in every state that I'm really reluctant to look at what those states are doing and think about how it might affect what Tennessee does. Because, you know, this whole thing about football happening in the spring at the high school level has been discussed in several states, some neighboring states, including, you know, Mississippi just down south. But I know that Tennessee is not considering that. The TSSAA has essentially ruled that part out. So I'm trying to sort of keep tunnel vision here, keep the blinders on, just look at the numbers in Tennessee, what the governor is deciding, and I think the TSSAA is doing that as well.
He is Lucas Panzica, 104.5 The Zone and FallsWire.com. Lucas, you started this segment off saying that you've been pretty busy today. What you got going on this week, man?
Finally, we'll get to broadcast the ball game this weekend. Soccer in Chattanooga, the NISA, semi-professional league in the U.S., is holding a cup in Chattanooga with four teams. Looking forward to being on the call for that. Not just this weekend, but the weekend after as well. So just good to have a microphone in my face and do a game for the first time since February.
Hey, man, happy as hell for you on that front for sure. I know that's something that you love to do. So you have fun doing that, my friend, and we thank you for joining us once again.
Fellas, appreciate it as always. Talk soon.
Have a good weekend, buddy. That is Lucas Panzica. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter. He's still able to tweet. He's not verified. It's at Lucas Panzica. We appreciate him joining us as always. Will, any update from Twitter support? Is it still just the Wild West on the timeline?
As of right now, yeah. I'm just enjoying all of the non-Blue Mark tweets at the Blue Mark people who can't defend themselves right now.
I felt like we had no rules going on at the moment just because everything's in utter chaos. So I tweeted out the gif of the dude in the Little Caesars ad taking off his shirt. There's no rules!
Oh, yeah, that one. I know which one you're talking about.
That one. Ooh, I love it. I'm going to log onto the timeline real quick just to see an update. While we take this break, when we come back, we're going to wrap up hour number one of your Wednesday edition of Overtime here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. I tell you what, man, this Twitter thing going on right now with all the banned verified accounts, this is the time for Volkenvall to shine. He is shining right
for
now.
For sure.
One of my favorites. Good dude.
You got to get him while they're blind.
And he's already been Bill Gates, and now he's Trump.
Barrett Salee prank he pulled the other day was legendary.
So good. So good. His tweet is Trump now is, is Trump's savvy. With the tweet in all caps, I will not be silenced. You think Twitter is going to stop me from tweeting? No, thank you. And please give me some Bitcoin while you're at it.
Donate Bitcoin.
So I can buy more Goya Foods.
1,000 Bitcoin for 2,000 regular dollars. This has been the worst trade deal in history.
The worst deal in the history of deals. And by the way, China! Still might be my favorite tweet of the year. Just him rambling in the middle of the day. China, all caps. I mean, no explanation.
I mean, it's basically just those tweets. China,
but,
that's the tweet.
But China. But China. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, Twitter is still in shambles, though. This is fantastic to watch. I tell you what's not fantastic, though. How about this bad PR light that the WNBA is in today? WNBA, like your most woke sports league, your most progressive sports league, they're out in front of being a players' league for sure, all this stuff. And now, but now they're telling one of their big stars, Elena Deladon, who even if you're not familiar with women's basketball, that's probably a name most have heard. She's been a big star.
At least recognized.
She's been a big star since her college days, and she was scoring like 35 a game for Delaware.
Yeah, she's. I think she's one of the few players in the WNBA version of 2K that's above a 90. Like, she's cold.
Really good. But today, though, she said that she hopes listen to this, the denial of her request to be medically exempt this season from the WNBA because of the effects of Lyme disease on her immune system was not influenced by her status as reigning WNBA MVP. So this is like one of their big, big stars. Mm-hmm. And she requested to be medically exempt because when you look at the fact that she said she's about Lyme disease for a while, she takes some insane cocktail of medicine every day to stave it off, basically.
Yeah, I think I saw she takes 64 pills in one day to battle it.
Good Lord. I mean, this is no joke. She's someone who, remember when all this thing popped off, how, okay, your two groups of society that you need to protect the most, the elderly and the immunocompromised. Elena Deladon, that sounds immunocompromised to me.
Yeah, pre-existing conditions was some of the words we heard probably 1,000 times at the beginning of this.
But yet the WNBA has denied her request to be medically exempt, which doesn't mean they're going to force her to play. It just means she's not going to get paid anything.
Which is whack.
And it's just, it's kind of bizarre, WNBA taking a stance like this. You would think they'd be players' league, but again, do you think she might have a point that because she's the reigning MVP, they want some star power down their bubble?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think and I don't want to disrespect the WNBA because basketball is basketball, and I enjoy watching it every now and then, I won't lie. But there's just no star power in the WNBA.
I've never watched it at all. I'm going to be honest.
I've never watched a whole entire game. Oh, there was an electric finish the other year. Team was down by two, hits a half-court shot to win the game. It was beautiful.
Okay.
One of the hypest moments I've ever seen. Okay. But I will say, again, like I could probably name you three to five WNBA players other than Deladon. So, like, they do want the star power down there because, like, you're seeing it in the NBA where some stars are dropping out and they're having to fill in players who you may not have ever heard of or players who are definitely out of their prime. And I don't think the WNBA has the depth in terms of just people wanting to play basketball who are female to let a bunch of stars run off.
This is, I mean, her explaining this here. She took to the Players Tribune, by the way.
Oh, she did.
To basically give a scathing criticism of her own league.
Those are always the worst for the league. They're always enjoyable to read, but they are always
just going straight there. She said, I'm not sure, talking about if her status as reigning MVP had any impact. She said, I'm not sure, and I really hope it didn't. I hope they would treat me as player X, and they see me that I've been treated for something for 9 years. They've seen my blood work. I've submitted everything. So I really hope that wasn't the reason why this happened. I hope it's doctors just still being unaware of Lyme disease and not having Lyme-literate doctors on that panel.
Lyme-literate.
That's a new one.
That's a band name.
She said, because I don't want to believe that's what's happened. Unfortunately, it might be what happened. Yeah, and she still said and confirmed she's on a regimen taking 64 pills a day. She says she knows it's probably not great for her long-term health, but I love the game of basketball.
64. I can barely take my antibiotics when I have a sinus infection.
She says this is the only thing that allows her to still play.
is the 64 pills.
Yeah.
It's like Trey Smith not being able to practice. I guess you just have to make sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. Because I guess I'm not Lyme literate, as she says, but I'm pretty sure if someone who's battled Lyme disease who's not a high-level athlete like this, I'm pretty sure they don't have to take 64 pills a day.
No, I think it's the strenuous activity that she's putting herself under.
Mystics coach and GM Mike Thibault, he said in a Zoom call today that Deladon is on the team's roster and is being paid. He said she will be paid throughout the WNBA season, even if she is only doing her rehab after back surgery and doesn't get the chance to play. Okay, good, I guess, but still the main point is you're an immunocompromised person, and your own league says, no, you're not going to be medically exempt.
That kind of feels like a slap in the
face. Suck it up, Buttercup, is what they're saying. Oh, you got Lyme disease? Oh, you got to take 64 pills a day? Oh, boo-hoo, you're like MVP.
It's like that scene from Always Sunny. Are you going to cry about it?
Oh, they're wearing the suits and the top hats. Oh, you going to cry? Oh, you got addicted to crack? Oh, you got Lyme disease? It's just, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad look. Who would have ever thought from the WNBA?
If you would have told me right now that in 2020, the WNBA would be the one league that's not woke, I would have told you stupid. But then again, a lot of things in 2020 have
been
like, stupid.
More like instead of the Women's National Basketball Association, it's the woke, not basketball association.
Burn.
Burn. Big burn. All right. We'll try to get Lyme literate throughout the show, I guess, to understand this.
I'll study up.
We will study. I know it has something to do with getting bit by ticks for sure. But we will see. Hour number one of overtime's done. Hour two is coming up after this. 865-546-8200 is your number if you would like to hop on. 546-8200. Hour number two coming up next.